All right, everybody, welcome to this week's investment review. There's a lot going on, so we'll jump right into it. In terms of the major indices, over the last week or so, we've seen them push to new highs and pull back a little bit. That's definitely happened in the domestic space, and we've seen developed international kind of push up to new highs as well. Fixed income continues to be a big spot of worry. That is really kind of breaking down, has not been a good place to be. And also commodities still continue to do well, although we've had a little bit of a flip in our overall asset allocation there that we'll get into. In terms of our major indicators, pretty much positive across the board. We're seeing a lot of the bullish percents back in X's. The area that we are seeing some indicators in column of O's are in the positive trend for some of these areas, but those are still at high levels and not down to kind of that mid 50-ish level where we really start to worry about things from a positive trend standpoint. So going on to our overall asset allocation framework, we'll bring Jay on and talk a little bit about what we're seeing from a broad perspective.
Yeah, thanks, John. There's been a lot of more of the same as it relates to the overall dolly over the course of the past week, with the exception of international equities and commodities. International equities pop back up into the number two position, overtaking commodities, by and large, due to some of the strength that we've seen within the developed world, as John alluded to earlier, with those indexes pushing to new highs. But really, I mean, international equities, they're still very, very closely tied in terms of their signal count at 255 and 251. So those two asset classes are still both very strong in the commodity area, energy, crude oil continuing to push to new highs as well. Domestic equities, though, continues to be the clear leader from an overall dolly relative strength ranking perspective. And then the trends that we've been talking about, I mean, there's been a ton of change within the ranks and the leadership positions within dolly. Nothing major over the course of this week outside of the international equities, as we continue to see the small cap area and then a lot of the more value oriented sectors, energies, financials, pushing up towards the top of the spectrum though. But with that said, continues to see from a dolly picture, the more risk on assets, the more risk on areas continue to provide their leadership over and above the more defensive areas like fixed income and cash.
All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jay. And another way we can look at some of the different groups and asset classes on the site are through our asset class group scores. And we'll bring Steve on to talk a little bit about some of the things he's seeing in that area.
Thank you, John. What we're looking at today is somewhat of a recap of what Jay mentioned, which is a domination of some known asset classes, particularly small cap, as the leader of our broad asset class group scores, backed up by the core market assets, which are generally large cap S&P 500 related funds. Those two types of U.S. assets have, created a vacuum in the U.S. for other alternatives. Other alternatives to me means, I want to diversify, or an advisor wants to diversify around to other groups and complete an allocation. And we're in a market type, which that's fairly difficult to do. In our asset class library of alternative assets, there is a list here in the slide on the right, and our contrarian strategies are doing well. Those are funds that are picking up some value plays, and there are a few good assets there. Social responsibility, or aka ESG type funds, have a pretty good net average score, and so those could be ideas that you look around for, or opportunities that could complete an allocation. But past that, we're back at the average score of every fund on the whole system. In other words, we don't have a lot of alternative ideas in this market type to diversify into. Even hedge funds score at the 3-score level, and low beta fixed income, low beta equity, score well below 3. Market neutral funds, score about 2. And as you look around for, classic or alts funds or managed futures funds, the ones we run into have a score of 1.5 or 1.6 respectively on individual members. And what this gives you is kind of a frustrating environment when you're wanting to diversify into an allocation, and this market type's not allowing extremely a good amount of alternative type out asset classes that have a good score. So you really, there is no alternative in a sense. We have to focus on the small cap and the large cap basis in the market and really keep that underweighted in some of these classic other pursuits that one could do. If we don't underweight these other asset classes, they will drag on long-term performance. So again, just wanted to point out that in some markets, there is no alternative. We have to stick with the main leadership and not over-diversify out of that. John, back to you.
All right, thanks, Steve. And that contrarian strategy alternative that you're seeing in that blue highlighted section on the top there dovetails really nicely into what we're seeing from an overall momentum standpoint in the market. So those contrarian strategies are doing well. That's essentially laggard strategies. And we've seen laggard strategies do very well over the past month or two. That's reflected in these spreads that you see here. So when those are falling, momentum is not doing as well as contrarian strategies. And that's certainly been the case as we've seen this big rotation, as Jay mentioned, from more growthy type areas into both small cap and also more value oriented areas on a sector level. Now, diving in a little bit more to some another asset class, the US dollar, that has broken out to the upside. It looks like the dollar will probably continue to move higher here. That overall trend is still in a downtrend, but from an intermediate term basis, it looks like we're going to see firmer prices here for the U.S. dollar. As U.S. interest rates rise, that's not a complete surprise that people are coming back and maybe looking for higher yields in some of these U.S. Treasury securities. Kind of moving on to domestic equities. We'll start with styles and factors, and we'll bring Joe on to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks, John. And, you know, even from last week, like Jay said, there hasn't been too much change in the Dolly rankings when we look at the size and styles. We have pretty defined leadership from small caps, followed by mid caps, and then large caps. And we've seen value tick up on each of those categories slightly, especially in the small cap and mid cap area, with small cap value passing, well, now tied with small cap blend. We'll see if that can continue to, if that spread can widen in favor of value and eventually maybe take over growth here soon. But for the time being, all three size and styles with relation to growth are outpacing their value counterparts. And, you know, we've seen this value rotation over the last couple of months. And we'll look to see that continue here in Dolly. It just hasn't fully rotated yet. But we are definitely seeing signs of that in the short and intermediate terms. And then if we want to move over to factors, value, you know, like I kind of mentioned earlier, has continued to show signs of strength in the near term. And that's been a big hindrance on momentum strategies overall, as a lot of those were heavy growth tilted through most of 2020. And now the beautiful thing about momentum is it doesn't really have a bias between growth or value. It's going to pick up what's doing well in the moment. So as we approach the end of the first quarter, a lot of these indexes will begin to rebalance the momentum indexes. And you would expect that a lot of those heavy growth names would get pulled out and a lot of the value names would get put in. But for the time being, we are seeing that growth weakness transition over to the momentum factor. Low volatility, not much has changed there either. That continues to be a fairly weak area of the market. Now, on the other hand, quality continues to hold strength. It's not going to set the world on fire, but it's maintaining relative and absolute strength modestly. And with that, I'll pass it back to you, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe. And moving on to the individual sectors on the domestic side, we'll start with technology and bring Ian on for that.
Thank you, John. So as we've touched on a bit throughout the course of this call. The technology sector still continues to be ranked lower in the Dolly ranking, sitting there in that fourth ranking, its lowest ranking since late 2016. A lot of the areas over the, well, obviously with the sellout that we saw at the beginning of last week, we've seen a little bit of a resurgence from some areas. Some names are beginning to move back to buy signals. A lot of the names are still kind of moving, still in oversold territory, moving kind of back towards the middle of their respective trading bands. A pretty good kind of representative picture of that is actually Apple, has still on two consecutive sell signals, has a fair amount of support down there, obviously still in a longer term positive trend, still a 3 for 5-er, but is with the, some of the improvement we've seen over the course of the past few days, just kind of reversed back up in X's, heading north towards that, the middle of the trading band there at 130. So some other areas that have shown a little bit more significant improvement, some areas in semiconductors have been a little bit more resilient. One name in particular to take a look at would be ON Semiconductor Corp, ticker ON. It's a 5 for 5-er. It did move lower, give a sell signal with the sell up there last week. But that was actually after a double top. So the reversal back up into exits this week sets up a shakeout pattern. Currently sitting there at 41, that pattern would be completed at 43. And then another name would be Seagate Technology, ticker STX. That's going to be an area in the technology hardware space, also showing a little bit more resilience. And actually moved higher to make a new all-time high last week, pulled back a little bit from that high. It's a 4 for 5-er and is currently sitting there at 75. Also has a 3.55% yield. So not as many names in the tech space, obviously income oriented. That's another place to keep an eye on there. So with that, throw it back to you, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ian. And that technology sector does continue to fall in Dolly. And closely related to that is communication services, which has been falling for a while. And we'll bring Sarah on to talk about that and some of her other areas.
Thanks, John. So as Jay mentioned earlier, in Dolly, we really didn't see much in terms of the sector count or any sector changes in terms of tally ranking count. Communication services ranks in the 7th position in Dolly with 127 buy signals. So although we have seen strength from an absolute perspective, just looking through the lens of XLC, it does remain kind of in that bottom half of the Dolly rankings. It just hasn't been as strong as those that's ranked above, such as energy and cyclical. And financials. But with this recent kind of rally over the last week, XLC, the Spider Communication Services ETF, did print a new all-time high at 76. So from that sector, it is nearing overbought territory now with an overbought oversold rating of about 80%. This is the highest reading we've seen for the communication services sector since mid-February. Just as a whole, the sector rallied a little over 3.8 over the last week and is up over 12% year to date. So outperforming the broader market so far, we've seen a positive monthly momentum flip for XLC and remains with that strong 4.68 fund score. But even more outperformance we've seen come from the equal weight communication services fund, so EWCO, it's up about 25% so far this year, as we've just seen those small and mid-cap names participate and contribute more than those larger cap names. And we've seen superior strength, as we've mentioned over the past few weeks, from the broadcasting and publishing sub-industries, which are the strongest two right now below copper, while integrated telecom services is one of the weakest. And there are a handful of sub-industries ranked in the middle, like movies and entertainment, satellite. But for the most part, we're seeing some huge dispersion there from the strong and the weak. In the asset class group scores page, it does rank 10th at the sector view with 3.87 score in that green zone. So a little bit of weakening there. But one stock idea that caught my eye today is IDT Corporation, so symbol IDT. We've seen that stock hit multi-year highs. It is currently ranked number one in the telephone sector matrix with 5 attributes in its favor. So moving on to discretionaries, this remains a leader relatively speaking in Dolly, again, ranked 2nd. From a broad perspective, using XOY, we haven't seen the sector recover back to all-time highs that it printed in February, but we did see the chart return to a buy signal. And so the volatility, there huge volatility, I think, happens in this sector just with any sort of COVID news, just because there are names within the sector that will benefit from the return to normal, if you will, economy versus the corona economy. So over the past week, we've actually seen really nice performance from those beach stocks. So bookings, entertainment, airlines, cruise lines, casinos, and hotels. American Airlines is one in particular that caught my eye. That has, you know, it hit a low of 850 back in last May. Now sits at 25. Over the past week, it was up 13%, is up 55% so far this year. So those airline stocks have definitely, you know, started showing out performance in the near term. But again, from a relative perspective, remain second in Dali. We are seeing strength from the equal weight version of that sector with up 15%. So seeing the subsector strength again from autos and parts, equipment, housewares, and specialties, and then the weakness there being the restaurant stocks. And then utilities, the story hasn't really changed since last week. Again, holds up the basement in Dali with 55 signals. We did see a reversal up on the chart of the XLU, but still remains on a sell signal and really hasn't shown any sort of change again since last week. John, back to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sarah. And we'll keep continuing to move through these sectors, bring Joe on to talk about healthcare and financials.
Thanks, John. So starting off with healthcare, you know, we haven't seen much change over the past couple of weeks here. Healthcare remains near the bottom of the sector rankings within Dali. Broad exposure should probably be an underweight here, if you do have any. XLV continues, that's the Spider Select Healthcare Fund, continues to kind of just consolidate in the same area over the last, I would say, 5 or 6 months. So there's no real momentum behind it. There's other areas of the market that are doing much better with in terms of momentum. And then, you know, given the weakness in the area, it may be, you know, prudent to look at, you know, any individual names that you have within healthcare that have fallen maybe below or two or below, or maybe even some of those threes, just given the weakness of the sector. But one of the few names that I will share that does look good to me is Abbott Laboratories, symbol ABT, with a buy rating that has 4 out of 5 technical attributes. And it's trading right in the middle of its trading band. It broke a spread quadruple top back in January, and it's pulled back to that point now, right in the middle of its trading band. So I would look for a reversal back into X's for some confirmation, but it does look like a strong stock that's at an actionable place within its trading band. And then if we want to move over to financials, we've seen that continue to rise, you know, along with interest rates increasing. We've seen the banks do particularly well. And then, you know, today we have the FOMC meeting at 2:30. So we'll see what the Fed has to say about rates. That could be, either a tailwind or a headwind for financials, depending on how that looks. And then most of those large names that we touched on last week, a lot of those large banks continue to look strong. Not too much has changed here. I will say, you know, watch out for the FOMC meeting this afternoon. See how things react after that. We also have quad witching on Friday, so that's another thing to keep an eye out for. But other than that, with regards to financials, not too much has changed over the past week. I'll pass it back to you, John.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Joe. So as financials continues to climb, we're seeing industrials that had been super strong has just kind of been falling off a little bit. So we'll bring Will on to talk about that and some of his other areas.
Yep, thank you. And broadly speaking, the industrials group is still just jockeying for position in the middle of our Dali rankings, along with basic materials and technology for the most part. But it has climbed on the asset class groups course page, sitting fourth out of all sectors right now, ranked by average score. So albeit the general lagging of this sector, we would prefer some concentrated exposure, still seeing some buying opportunities in areas like machinery, industrial transportation, logistics, and some airlines, as I'm really going to kind of dabble on further with what Sarah was saying. Interesting, Sarah, you mentioned American, and I was also looking at that. And I think it's worth mentioning that some of these airlines are nearing pre-pandemic levels. American Delta, both of which classify as that. And pre-pandemic, there's actually a period of consolidation that they're approaching. So it's going to be interesting to see if that's another period of consolidation or the strength can be continued higher past that. Some smaller size airlines tend to be doing a little bit better and maybe have some further tailwind in the near term to get past those previous highs. But by and large, that was my only updates for the industrial sector. Still neutral positioning in Dolly, but hopefully maybe some near-term tailwind. Moving on to staples, there's really no material updates since we talked about this last week. It's still largely out of favor, basement of Dolly, and it lags on the asset class group scores page. That said, the weakness of the sector traditionally being a defensive play can probably be interpreted as a positive for the rest of the equity market, but we would still underweight broad exposure here. I think pockets of strength are still going to be in your food distributors and personal products and some household individual names being Estee Lauder, Fresh Pet, and Darling Ingredients still look strong. Fresh Pet had a nice trend line test earlier this week, but is still trading in an overall positive trend. And those are some names to consider if you want to gain access in the staple space. Finally, I'm just going to go ahead and move on to the real estate sector. And really here, there's also no material updates since past week. Similar to staples, it lags in Dolly and asset class group scores page. So two of our macro rankings, it's showing relative weakness, and it's going to be in an underweight in our view at this time. Again, those, if you want exposure in the space, maybe you do some shopping in the real estate services subsector. And I do want to note that some of the real estate spaces and some of the other lagging areas in staples, for that matter, are showing absolute price strength, but the rebound and really underperformance is going to be coming from the relative side, and that's going to keep us out of the broader space. So with that, that's all my comments, and back to you, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Will. And we'll bring Jamie on to talk about materials and energy.
Materials has fallen to sixth in Dolly, remains an equal weight. XLB, the Spider Select Fund, has a favorable fund score of 4.39. No signs of a breakdown, even though it has fallen one spot in Dolly. Overall, within the sector, industrial metals remain strong, especially copper remains an area of strength. Meanwhile, chemicals are also generally strong. Precious metals, especially gold, continue to be an area of weakness. Moving on to energy, it remains an overweight, holding on to the number one spot in the Dolly sector rankings. XLE has a favorable fund score of 4.66, although it currently sits in overbought territory. We saw some initial sell signals on individual charts on Tuesday as oil traded down for the fourth consecutive day. However, the overall sector trend remains decidedly positive. And those who might be looking for some individual stock exposure can look at Helmrich & Payne. It's a 3-for-5 on technical attributes, so a buy in our system, and is 7 of 29 in the oil service sector matrix. Carries a 3% yield, and trading in actionable territory. So again, Helmrich & Payne, ticker HP. For those who might be looking for some oil service exposure. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jamie. And we'll move on to international equities, which, as Jay said, has moved up in the Dolly ranks. We'll bring Ian on to run over what he's kind of seeing in that space.
Yeah, thank you, John. So as we touched on, international equities improved into the second position, back to the second position, I should say, in the Dolly rankings. It fell out in towards the end of February with commodities showing improvement. And as Jay touched on, these two asset classes are still very close from a buy signal perspective, with international equities sitting at 255 buy signals, commodities just a few behind it at 251. But a lot of this improvement that we've seen from international equities has actually come from the developed side of things, a little bit different than most of the movement we've seen in international equities over the course of the past few years, specifically looking at the iShares EFA ETF, ticker EFA, compared to the iShares MSCI Emerging Markets ETF, ticker EEM. Both of those funds are, I mean, they're pretty close from a year-to-date performance perspective. EEM is still slightly higher, but if you look over the past 30 days, EEM has declined almost 6%, while EFA is about, the EFA is about flat, up 0.21%. So in looking underneath the hood at some of the individual countries that are leading to some of this movement, we've especially seen some significant improvement from countries in Europe. And that's kind of tied to this improvement from the developed side of things. We touched on last week with the improvement we've seen in financials. A lot of these European countries are kind of have more exposure towards financials than other areas around the world. And so that we're seeing that improvement of financials carry over internationally, and it's leading some of these areas to continue to demonstrate relative strength. Specifically looking at the top quartile of our country matrix rankings, 5 out of the 11 representatives are from Europe. So definitely seeing that area improve, one of which being is Ireland. So a little shout out there on the St. Patrick's Day. But some other areas that are showing some improvement as well. Looking at Latin America, but not the typical improvement that we've seen from the space being Brazil. Brazil's actually continued to underperform a bit, while other areas such as Chile and actually Mexico have shown a little bit more significant recent improvement. So those will be places to keep an eye out there in the emerging market space as well. So with that, back to you, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ian. And one area that one asset class, excuse me, that we've seen some trouble in is over in fixed income. Yields continue to move higher, and we'll bring Jamie on again to go over what he's seeing there.
Thanks, John. As John said, the big story is that yields continue to rise. The 10-year U.S. Treasury was at 1.625%. Has risen even further today, getting up past 1.675%. And, thus far in the day has topped out just under 1.69%. So still seeing some pretty rapid rises in Treasury yields. This obviously has been a major headwind for most areas of the fixed income market, specifically, things that you would see in the U.S. Ag Index, like investment grade bonds and Treasuries. And the rising yields have also kind of spilled over to have an effect on the equity market, especially in the growth and high PE stocks. We've seen on days where we see yields rising, those stocks tend to sell off in response. So obviously still seeing a lot of sensitivity to rates from the equity markets, as well as obviously those areas of the fixed income market. Despite volatility in the equity markets, convertible bonds continue to lead the RS rankings within the asset class groups course, and they are followed by floating rates, which actually tend to do well in a rising rate environment, and then high yields, which are also more equity linked. And with that, we can move on to commodities. Not much to report as far as major changes in commodities this week. As noted earlier, crude oil has traded down the last few sessions, but it hasn't even been enough to cause it to reverse down on its default and poison figure chart. Gold has been range bound between 1680 and 1740 over the last couple of weeks, but it remains on multiple sell signals and in a negative trend. So overall continued weakness from gold. And within industrial metals, copper remains on a sell signal, but has rallied off of its bottom that it found recently, just below $4, and is pushing back up towards the 424 area that would put it back onto a buy signal. So overall, the major trends in commodities continue to be the same, seeing strength from crude and industrial metals, while weakness in the precious metal space. Back to you, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jamie. So overall, the overall asset allocation picture remains largely the same, with domestic equities and international equities on top. It is definitely a risk on type of posture from that standpoint. We are continuing to see the rotation under the surface, though. So from large cap into small cap, and from a lot of the growth-oriented sectors into more value-oriented sectors. So while your overall asset allocation might be remaining very similar. I think you'll see a lot of changes occurring underneath that. You're probably seeing a lot of changes in whatever strategies you're running if you're using some sort of relative strength or momentum type of ranking system. So we will be on again next week to run over any changes that we're seeing between now and then.